You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and since the lockdown, the appreciation for live entertainment and getting out into the world has massively grown. And whether that's out in a live performance environment or an arts gallery or museum. But for blind and partially sighted people, there are extra barriers to attending art, cultural and entertainment events. The West Midlands Sight Loss Council recently held a forum to find out what these venues can do as we get back to normality to increase their accessibility. And joining us now to tell us a little bit more about it is Paul Hopkins, a member of the West Midlands Sight Loss Council, and Louise Connop, the engagement manager for the West Midlands Sight Loss Council. Thank you both very much for joining me. So Louise, can you tell us first of all about where the idea for the forum came from and the reasons that you wanted to run it in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Sight Loss Council members, obviously we get together regularly, and it was a topic that came up quite a few times of how people felt about going back out into society and what venues had on offer to enable them to feel comfortable and safe when going back out into the entertainment sector. So we had a few discussions and came up with the idea that we would invite quite a few key entertainment venues along to give us a bit more insight into what happens on a day-to-day basis at their venues and how VI people can get involved.
So Paul, what has your experience been like within entertainment spaces pre-COVID to say now? Has that changed at all? How have you found that?
I think obviously there was a gap, wasn't there, for everybody really. So that was a bit strange. Pre-COVID, I mean, I think I've generally had good experiences. But if I can think, I think of one quickly. I went to a venue post-COVID to have to see a band that I like, and that was actually very efficient, you know, and I did feel really, really safe, like, and confident to go, more once I was there than going. I was quite nervous because I'd never been to a live event actually on my own. I've been with other people. Anyway, I went to this club for this gig, and the COVID thing worked really well. Like, I'd got my NHS COVID pass on my phone. They took me to the front of the queue anyway, and there was probably about 5,000 or 6,000 people there. And they just said, yeah, okay, and you come. And they got a dedicated place where I could be, because I didn't really want to stand in the crowd anyway, particularly. So it felt like it was safe for me to be where I was. And there was a dedicated space for people, you know, so wheelchairs and different things. And you could choose, really, I suppose, to a large extent. But they had options, really. And I thought it was very well managed. And
how's that experience of having a positive experience post-COVID made you feel about sort of going into the future? But do you feel like people are paying more attention to it now?
I want them to, and I hope they will. It felt like that, if I'm being honest. And I think the more we can feed into that and actually inform people what we're looking for and what would help us, and having those two-way conversations, which obviously the forums allow us to do, the better, really.
And that's something that's really important, isn't it? The two-way conversation, like you say. Louise, how do you think that these forums have impacted the entertainment industry in the West Midlands? And what was the response like from the people who were there as industry representatives? And what did they take away from it, do you think?
Do you know, we obviously sit on lots of different access panels as Sight Loss Council members for lots of different reasons. And the entertainment sector seemed, after the conversations we've been having, to be kind of lacking that. You know, we've got lots of representation in areas like sports and health and that kind of stuff. And every single person that we identified was a key entertainment player across the region that we work in was really, really keen to get involved. They're keen to learn from people with lived experience. They want to make things better. And I think they're first to say, actually, we know we haven't got it right. We're trying our hardest and we want to work with you to continue to improve that, which, you know, is all we ask for as people with visual impairments, is that we're listened to, we're understood, and you know, they do put into practice, you know, what they find and the things that they hear from us. So they were really keen. They were really involved. We've continued to be involved post the VI Forum event. Everyone that attended the event, you know, had great things to say about it. Their questions were answered. A lot of the questions, honestly, were answered with the information that the venues were giving, which is great. It means that they, you know, they do have this in the forefront. They're aware of accessibility and they know the kind of things that need to happen. But it means that we've got that relationship built with these venues to move forward to continue to improve.
So, Paul, I'm just going to ask, this is a little bit off topic, but I'm just wondering, with the Sight Loss Council in general, what do you think is the most important thing that you contribute and that the Sight Loss Council contribute in general? What do you think is the biggest impact that they have?
I suppose, and I know it sounds a bit corny, but I suppose, I think being a voice, first and foremost, that says that there is a broad mix of all the lived experience that we have as people with a vision impairment, and often with additional disabilities, that actually does, the Sight Loss Councils enable us, I think, as individual visually impaired people to have that voice, but to be able to take it somewhere and make a difference, not just for ourselves, because that would be crazy, you know, but for many, many people.
And I guess having those two-way conversations and knowing how accessible venues are and what's on offer is going to make you want to go and spend your money in these places.
Thinking about my own things that I want to do, you know, when I was here in one of the museums, it's called the Black Country Living Museum, talking about their what they do in accessible terms, I was thinking, well, I know that I'm going to have to think about how I would go there. Like, I would have to maybe take a bit of time off work so I could go in the day, and it would mean working out my plan to get there. But I was so enthused after what they'd said about the access to it, that I really, really, really want to go. And I think if that's the end result of what we're doing for me, then hopefully it will be that for other people too, that other people will be nodding their heads and saying, yeah, I'll do that, you know, I feel like I'm going to be all right when I get there, you know, and that I'll have an amazing experience. And that has to be good for everybody.
Do you think it's about having confidence in these venues and having that, like you say, the communication to understand, so that they understand what they need to do, and that, so you know what is there, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think it is exactly when they were talking about, you know, the kind of things that are there, but also the kind of things they can do to help, that actually when I go there, I'm not going to be a burden. I'm not going to like be thinking, okay, how do I get in here? I'm not going to be thinking, am I going to miss something that I really wanted to see? You know, I'm not going to be thinking, how am I going to get to know about the historical story of this particular exhibit? And I know that I'll get choices when I go there. You know, there'll be some things I won't be as interested in, so they're not just going to drag around every single thing. But it's because this two-way conversation has happened at Sight Loss Council level, it's continuing when you actually go as an individual to the venue, I think.
Absolutely. Thank you, Paul. Louise, where can we find out more about the Sight Loss Councils?
So currently Sight Loss Councils are only based in England. Hopefully in the next however many years that will change. But if people want to get involved, they want to find out more information, they can visit our website, which is www.sightlosscouncils.org.uk. There's lots of information on the website of how to get in touch, how to apply to be a Sight Loss Council member, to find out upcoming events, you know, any pre-recorded stuff that's happened before, you can get on there. I'm more than happy, if you want to drop me an email, to leave my email address as well. It's louise.connop, C-O-N-N-O-P, at parklington-trust.org.uk.
Brilliant. Well, thank you both so much for joining me.
Thank you for having us.